Welcome to the Apple Context Machine, a podcast about all things Apple, with your hosts, Jeff Gamet and Brian Chaffin.
Today is February 22nd, 2010, and this is the Apple Context Machine, episode number 163, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin.
In a land where the sun shines, the water runs, one man has a job.
A job.
And that job is Brian Chaffin.
To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. You're only encouraging me. And if you'd like to comment on a question, anything about the show, shoot us a note at ACM.
Pew, 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 pew.
macobserver.com. Thank you, Melissa.
Melissa rocks. She does. And hey, are you recording or playing right now?
I am actually recording this time. You know, I should have made my job title recording artist in mockery of the fact that this is our third attempt to start this, and I keep messing it up.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm really proud of you because you eventually figured it out.
I did. I'm all grown up.
Yeah, you're all grown up.
Yeah. Speaking of not being grown up, I am on Twitter at TMO Brian. That's Brian with a Y.
Right, and I'm on Twitter too, but that's only because I want to be like Brian when I growed up. And you can find me at twitter.com/jgamet. That's J-G-A-M-E-T.
Excellent, excellent. Well, it has been it's been a pretty interesting week. Our last podcast was about Macworld.
Right, and wait a second, I just realized we're going to have more than one podcast in a month.
I know. We're actually going to have three this month. It is kind of ridiculous.
All right. I'm assuming pretty soon we'll start getting emails from people wanting to know where the real Jeff and Brian are and why we've been replaced with pod people.
Exactly. I have no doubt.
Yeah.
So I guess we don't have a lot of chit-chat today. Why don't we just get to it?
All right. I can make that happen.
Excellent.
Reports are pointing to iPad pre-orders starting this week. The long arm of the law is reaching out for Google hackers in China. Designing Apple's A4 chip cost a truckload of money. Apple's North Carolina data center is really big. And Steve Jobs won another award at an event he didn't go to.
An unconfirmed report from App Advice said that Apple will begin accepting pre-orders for the iPad as soon as February 25th. The site cited unnamed sources, quote-unquote, familiar with the matter, but the time frame would largely split the difference between the announcement date of January 27th and the 60-day availability predicted by Apple CEO Steve Jobs during that event. App Advice also reported that pre-orders would be limited to the U.S. initially be for Wi-Fi units only. Apple had said that the Wi-Fi units would ship first and that units equipped with 3G data access would be available in another 30 days.
And the U.S. government is apparently getting much closer to positively identifying exactly who was behind recent attacks on Google to hack into Gmail accounts of Chinese human rights activists. It's looking more and more like the Chinese government may have been behind the attacks. I know. And most likely used one of their own security researchers' work in the process. The freelance security expert the Chinese government allegedly enlisted doesn't appear to be directly responsible for the cyber attacks, and it looks like he didn't want any involvement in the incidents either. China's government being what it is, however, the researcher's work was enlisted despite his wishes. Investigators have also traced the attacks to two educational institutions in China, one of which is known for having one of the best security-related departments in the country. Of course, both schools are denying any involvement in the attacks.
Go figure on that.
Yeah.
Apple is likely to have spent $1 billion on designing the new A4 processor that will power its iPad tablet device, if a story from the New York Times is right. In a report looking at the current state of competition in the microprocessor market, the Times said that designing a new generation of processors currently costs about $1 billion apiece, a large sum of money that doesn't even take into account the $3 billion or more that goes into building the fabs that take these designs and make them into real chips. Apple's A4 was designed by PA Semi, a fabless semiconductor firm acquired by Apple in 2008. Apple is one of the only companies making processors for use solely in its own devices, and at a billion bones a pop, it's not hard to understand why.
My Apple, what a big data center you have!
Well, that could have been the subheading to the reaction to a video posted by real estate agent Bill Wagenseller, and yes, that's his real name. It's a video taken during an aerial flyover of Apple's data center the company is building in North Carolina. The facility is enormous at some 500,000 square feet and spread out over a large tract of land, seemingly in the middle of North Carolina nowhere. Now, we've known about the facility since at least June of 2009, when it came to light that Apple was seeking a deal with the state of North Carolina to build the facility. But seeing its enormosity showed us that Apple is not fooling around with this little project. And we have links to the video in the show notes.
Apple may not have been present at the Mobile World Congress event, that's Mobile World Congress event in Barcelona, but CEO Steve Jobs still managed to win the show's Mobility Personality of the Year award. The new award was created especially for the event's 15th anniversary of its Global Mobile Awards ceremony. The nominees that lost out to Mr. Jobs include Google CEO and former Apple board member Eric Schmidt, RIM co-CEO Mac Lazaridis, and HTC CEO Pete Chow. And yes, they were all at the event. Stephen Fry hosted the affair and promised to make sure Mr. Jobs received his award, and no doubt his Steveness is tapping his foot in giddy anticipation. For those doubting the power of Apple, this award served mainly to show that the only technology-related events dominated by Apple in the current era are every technology-related event in the current era.
And I'm laughing and I'm encouraging you. I'm sorry.
Again. Well, in between Jeff's chuckles, well, we heard the sound for the context machine, and that's the context machine within the context machine, which, you know, it's just what we do.
Enigma wrapped in a burrito or something.
Yeah, let us go with it, please. And this is where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on. So how about we start with this whole Google hacking thing in China? Now, catch us up, Jeff, a little bit more on exactly what was going on.
All right. So if we set our Wayback Machine for several weeks ago, Google revealed or announced that they had been the target of a very focused hacking attack where people were attempting to gain access to the Gmail accounts of very specific people, and in this case, the people were known Chinese human rights activists. And so in the process, Google also said, hey, look, we're done with any of the censorship agreements we have with China now, and based on this attack, which they did all but say China attacked us.
The government of China.
Yeah, the government of China. They said, you know, we're thinking about just pulling everything that we have in China out and we'll leave them to their own devices. Well, they had
that was a few weeks ago, and so now what is it that's happened since? Who was it that released this report saying that they think it's definitely the Chinese government?
Okay, so this information is coming out through federal agencies that are actually investigating the incident. Because Google the only company that was targeted.
No, Google wasn't the only company. It wasn't even only attacks in the U.S.
Right. So this was a highly orchestrated worldwide attack.
Yeah, all trying to get at the email accounts of human rights activists. You know, those dangerous human rights activists.
Right, because how dare we have humans with rights?
Yes, exactly.
Right. And I was doing an air fist when I said that.
Yeah, my question is, so the U.S. is going to investigate this, is investigating this.
Right.
And of course, you know, companies like Google basically have a choice of, you know, in some ways being puppets of the Chinese government or not, to pull out. In Google's case, Google is already there. They had made the decision that more information was better than no information.
Right. So they agreed to the censorship restrictions that the Chinese government wanted them to enforce.
Right. And Google is in the process of reassessing that. And of course, they can always pull out of China.
Right.
But, you know, I wonder what is the U.S. government going to do or be able to do once they prove definitively that it was the Chinese government, which I'm, you know, if it's provable, if it is possible to prove who did this, I would be beyond shocked if it didn't come out that it was, in fact, the government of China.
Right. And so then at that point, I don't know, I guess our government could waggle their finger at China, impose sanctions.
You know, it's a tricky thing, and I think it's one of the reasons why China felt free to do this in the first place. It's China holds I think $1.5 trillion of debt, of our debt, and should it choose to call in those notes, you know, it could pretty much tank the global economy again. Which, of course, isn't in their best interest to do so. I mean, I don't know. We have this weird interdependent relationship where I fear that the only those governments without any kind of scruples at all, which is most governments, but, you know, or the government with the least amount of scruples, is kind of free to do whatever they want.
We're living in kind of a dysfunctional planet.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, and you know, I mean, the whole situation just sickens me to begin with. I mean, I hated when Google and Microsoft and Yahoo and everybody else agreed to the censorship restrictions required by the government to operate in that country. I don't see any kind of resolution to this whomever did it.
You know, what I see isn't so much a political resolution, but more of a commercial resolution.
Well, the only commercial resolution is that Google pulls out.
Right, but what I'm envisioning is more of a broader scale thing, where a lot of the companies that have agreed to the restrictions that the Chinese government has imposed on them, where they start abandoning those restrictions.
Well, they will eventually be kicked out, and their employees in China could well go to prison.
That's true. So now I didn't say I found a perfect solution, but so what I'm saying is, it seems more likely to me that whatever happens because of this doesn't happen at a political level; it happens at a commercial level.
Maybe I don't think that the U.S. government is going to be in a position to be able to definitively claim that it is China, and of course that they have sources leaking this information out pretty much means they know. I mean, that's,
sure.
You know, it's if it's gotten to that point, I'm sure that they pretty much feel that they could prove it. But, you know, what can the U.S. if the U.S. government doesn't do something about this after finding that it was the Chinese government, well, that's going to make the U.S. look somewhat impotent.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's difficult to find a any kind of win to this scenario for anyone, except for the Chinese government.
Yeah, and since I'm not a political and world affairs expert, I know, big surprise.
I'm not either, but you notice that it doesn't stop me from talking about it. That's kind of what I built my career on.
I guess the big difference between the way you talk about the stuff and the way I talk about the stuff is that occasionally I will throw the disclaimer at the front. I am not an expert. However, and then I will offer my expert opinion.
Fair enough.
Whereas you save your energy and just dive right in.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, all right. So not being a political expert, I'm not sure what the most likely outcome would be. But it sure seems to me like our government is in a position where its hands are probably going to be tied because China has some pretty serious purse strings they can pull on. So I'm just not seeing a positive political resolution to the situation.
I'm not either, which kind of surprises me that they would leak this.
Well, you know, maybe, I don't know. Who knows what happens in those dark cigar smoke filled rooms behind closed doors where politicians get together and do their
sausage making. All right, so you're going to take the boys over there, right? See, and then you're going to do this thing, right?
Oh, so you've been in on the meetings?
Exactly. I'm tapping the ashes off the end of my cigarette right now.
Yes. I hear that. Yeah. So anyhow,
Go ahead.
So since I can't see any reasonable political resolution, that's why I'm thinking whatever comes out of this will probably happen from the commercial sector.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And this is all rather depressing and almost outside of our purview, except for the fact that I will point out this is another example where politics and technology intersect all the time.
Yes.
And because of that, it actually does fall under our purview. But that said, there's a couple other things I want to talk about that I think are a lot more exciting, including the A4 thing and the data center.
Okay.
But before we do that, let's talk about this week's sponsor, and then we'll come back. We're going to talk about the sponsor and then come back with this much more exciting and interesting topic of more Apple-related stuff.
You know, and when we're talking about our sponsor, it's going to be a much happier thing anyhow.
It's true. They should have a jingle, something like "Smile on my Mac, it puts a smile on your Mac." Smile, you know, it's like five part harmony. Something like
I think
that.
That's absolutely fantastic. And my guess is that as soon as Jean hears that, she will be calling you to arrange for the studio time.
I'm available for hire.
That's right, Brian Chaffin. Musician at large.
In a world where the sun shines and water runs.
But we digress.
We do digress. Smile on my Mac. Great folks. They're sponsoring us. They've been a sponsor of ours for a long time. We want you to support them.
Yes. And our product this week is PDF Pen Pro.
PDF Pen Pro.
Which is an application I absolutely love, and I'm not saying that because they're a sponsor. I'm saying it because it's true.
We're lucky to have them as sponsors because their products are great.
They are. And for those of you that don't know what PDF Pen Pro is, it's an absolutely awesome application for editing PDF documents without you having to own a copy of Adobe Acrobat or Adobe Acrobat Pro.
Think of it as Adobe Acrobat, but with less suck.
You know, that's it right there. And
those were our words, folks. Smile on my Mac is not saying that.
No, we're saying that. They are not. Because you know what? They're actually a lot politer and sweeter than we are.
Indeed.
Yes, but this is an absolutely awesome application. You don't have a steep learning curve with it. You can do so many things with it. You can rip PDFs apart, put them back together, create forms, and it's edit documents. It's an absolutely wonderful app, and it costs so much less than Adobe Acrobat.
$99.95, right?
Yeah, and that's an amazing deal.
It is, and the big difference between PDF Pen Pro and PDF Pen is
you can do the form creation with PDF Pen Pro, meaning you can create a PDF form that someone else can fill out,
which is good.
Yeah, that's the big thing. They both have the built-in OCR, meaning you can scan a document of text, and it'll turn the text into editable text. They both do that, which is just crazy that you can get something like that at this price point.
It is, actually. I mean, like, what's Acrobat cost? I know we looked that up once, but it's hundreds of dollars.
It's a lot more.
It's a lot more. And PDF Pen Pro just has a great interface. It's a great product. Now, I noticed that they're actually still offering on our special page, because we do have a special page at smileonmymac.com, which is smileonmymac.com/AWR for our old name, Apple Weekly Report. It's a long story.
It's retro.
Yeah, they're still offering Disc Label at that on that page, I think, for 20% off.
That's a cool deal.
Yeah, it's still a cool deal and everything. By the time you hear this, that actually may have changed. But so one of the other products will be available on this page, and it's because they're cool and because they do a lot to sponsor a lot of Mac podcasts, and they're great folks. So go support them.
Yes, please do.
Please do.
Tell them we sent you.
Indeed. Well, if you go to smileonmymac.com/AWR, you will effectively tell them.
Oh, that's a good point.
Just by visiting the page, you'll tell them that we sent you.
That's like giving them a virtual hug.
Mm-hmm. And you've... That's awesome. And we've got the link in the show notes.
It's
true. We do. We have the link in the show notes. All right, so let's get on to some of the more fun things to talk about.
Okay. So, what, A4 processors?
Yeah, let's talk about what that means. You know, you and I were talking about this before we started recording, Jeff. You know, we talk about $1 billion all the time. I mean, we do. I mean, like, you know, we actually report on things like $1 billion or $2 billion or $3 billion. We hear it in the news all the time. Governments deal with trillions of dollars. Some companies are worth hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars. I mean, it's a sum of money that is easy to become sort of jaded about.
Well, it's higher than I can count.
Oh, and it's a little more money than I've got. And by a little, I mean a lot. And it's probably actually more money than everybody that listens to our podcast, you know, is worth.
Except for that one guy.
Well, except for the one guy, right. Right. I mean, the point being that... while it's easy to become jaded, it is a ton of money, and I think that Apple has been willing to invest that kind of money. Let alone, by the way, the money it took to buy this company in the first place.
Alone, because they spent a lot of money buying PA Semi.
Yeah, several hundred million, if I remember correctly. Like $236 million is the figure that jumps to my head.
Right.
Does that sound right?
It was
a lot of money.
Yeah, I think you're in the ballpark.
And let alone the other projects that they're paying to, you know, to work on at PA Semi, let alone the cost of actually getting these processors produced once they get them designed. I mean, this is a lot of money. And for Apple to be willing to make this investment, actually, let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about the fact that most companies that are in the processor business, they're designing these processors and hoping that everybody and their brother will use them in as many products as possible.
Right.
Thus, the risk and investment is basically being spread out in multiple different angles or multiple different directions. In order to, you know, basically be able to maximize that return.
Right, but then Apple, on the other hand, is devoting all of that money to make a processor that no one else will use.
Yeah, no one else is going to use this. Apple, there's no way Apple's going to sell any of its processors to another company. It's just not going to happen.
So they invested more money in designing a chip that no one else gets to touch than they have spent buying companies.
Yeah, substantially more. For them to do that says one thing and one thing only, that they anticipate being able to sell more iPads than you can shake a stick at.
Yeah, that would make sense, because they're not going to invest money in something that they don't see a return on that investment.
No, it'd be real easy to just dismiss this whole PA Semi thing and the A4 development. It'd be real easy to dismiss that to Steve Jobs' obsession about control. But the reality is that if they spent that kind of money in pursuit solely of control, they'd have a shareholder revolt on their hands.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I mean, there is a check on Steve's, you know, approach to business, and that is the shareholder. Now, Apple shareholders pretty much tend to, you know, worship it at Steve's feet, but that certainly wasn't always the case. But my real point here is that Apple can't spend this money on a vanity project. It's just too much money. We're talking about multiple billions before everything is said and done. But, you know, between the A4 and whatever ends up being the A5 or what was the A3 or whatever, you know, we're talking about a lot of money. So Apple expects to be able to make enough profit from having done this to justify the expense to increase shareholder value.
You know, Apple must be planning on selling a buttload of iPads.
Tens and tens of millions.
And now I'm wondering if they're planning on using the same chip in other devices too.
Well, I'm sure that they will. I'm sure that it wouldn't surprise me if the A4 itself went into the iPhone, or if it was the A4A, you know, or the A4B,
yeah, like
or something.
Yeah. A mobile, that's funny. A mobile version of the A4.
I'm sure if it's not the A4 itself, it'll either be a variation, or the work that was done to the A4 will apply to whatever goes into the A5, etc. And I still, by the way, do not think that we're going to be seeing these PA Semi processors in Apple computers and Mac computers. I mean, it's going to be limited to the iPhone OS devices.
You know, I have to agree with you on that. The likelihood that we will see Apple-designed chips in the laptop and desktop lineup is very slim. Yeah, I mean, Apple's already gone down that route.
Yeah, they get way too much benefit out of being with the rest of the world on the Intel platform.
Right, and Intel gets to invest in that development. All they have to do is buy chips.
Right, meaning that Apple's the same processors that are going into app. This is actually the exact opposite of what Apple's doing, in that Apple gets the benefit from all the other companies that will also buy those computer processors from Intel.
Sure. Intel is spreading the development cost out amongst everyone that buys the chips.
Right. And Apple benefits from that.
Right. It's the exact opposite
of what is the case for the A4.
Right. Now,
Apple does not benefit in any other company participating in the development cost of that processor.
Right. But it's one of those things where Apple takes all the risk, but then they reap all the rewards too.
Absolutely. That's very true. And the other thing about them going into Macs or not is the fact that PA Semi's expertise is all in the ARM architecture.
Right.
And the ARM architecture is not suitable for desktop-intensive computing. I mean, like, you know, for instance, the A4 is at a gigahertz.
Right, right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't really think there shouldn't be any real debate on whether or not the PA Semi stuff is going to make it into a Mac, because I just don't think it's ever going to happen.
I'm sure someone will try and make the argument, but we know they're wrong.
Yes, we do. And so we rule from our thrones of judgment.
In a world where the sun shines.
In a world where the sun shines, the water runs. That's right.
This kind of investment in developing a processor is just, I mean, it's just unbelievable. And again, no one else is doing this. NVIDIA makes its own processors for use in its own video cards, but then they're actually selling those video cards to multiple vendors.
Right.
Right. Intel According to that New York Times article, Intel is the only company that both designs its own processors and makes them. Everybody else does this whole fabless design thing where they've got the engineering team and then they outsource to usually China, but there are some fabs here in the States, and there's apparently the world's most advanced fab is being built in Germany right now.
Ah, German engineering. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I guess. And so, but no one else is doing this A4 thing where they're designing their own processor and putting it in their own device. No one is doing that. That is so incredibly significant. And again, it says that Apple thinks that they can sell a jillion devices. And I cannot emphasize at all how much. Well, I didn't say that right. I can't overemphasize how much it just smacked me when I started looking at that price and thinking about the that amount of money and what it meant to Apple's grand scheme and big picture. It's somewhat flabbergasting.
It is. And do you remember the rumor that came out before the iPad introduction, where someone was saying they overheard Steve Jobs say that the iPad was going to be the most important thing he ever did?
Yes.
When you look at the amount of money that Apple is investing in the A4 chip, a rumor like that suddenly has a lot more weight, because you don't invest that kind of money if you're not serious about what you're doing and if you don't really believe that it's going to be a huge success.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. It's fascinating. It's really fascinating. I've from the moment that they bought PA Semi, I've wondered what they were going to do with it. And when they tried to get Papermaster from IBM, the guy whose experience was in a lot of chip stuff.
Yes.
What are they thinking?
Well, now a lot of the stuff he did was related to the server end.
Well, it was, but he was a cell guy, cell processor.
Yes, yes.
He's one of the chief guys on the cell processor, and then of course when Apple actually announced it, kind of out of the blue, that oh, by the way, we're using the A4, our very own processor. I mean, it is just a fascinating thing, but these dollars. These dollars are just huge. They're huge for a company of even Apple size to invest, because you got to realize that as soon as they're using another processor, say the A5, we're talking about another $1 billion or at least several hundred million.
Sure. Now, I would assume that developing the next version of the chip, so we'll call it the A5 for sake of argument, wouldn't cost as much money because the foundation has already been laid, so now they're just refining and modifying.
Well, and yeah, the 1.1 gigahertz version of the A4 won't cost that much.
Right, okay.
But the 1.1 gigahertz version of the A4 will not be the A5. The A5 will have different capabilities, just as the A6 will have different capabilities. The A4A have different capabilities.
Okay, but the bottom line is Apple invested a buttload of money in this.
Yeah,
and they did. And they really believe in what they're making, because you don't invest that kind of money if you think you're going to lose money in the process.
Yeah, this is not, in other words, just Steve exercising his OCD on control. It's not that at all. This is the Apple expecting to be able to turn. To sell enough devices to make that money increase shareholder value.
Right.
Big stuff. Now, also speaking of big stuff, kind of ties in nicely with the whole data center thing.
It does. And so now you're focusing on, I'm going to jump back for a second. You're focusing on Papermaster and his cell technology expertise.
Right.
There's a little bit of me that's wondering if he was brought on board Apple because of his server technology expertise and this massive data center in North Carolina. So I have to wonder if there's some link there.
Yeah, that's possible, Jeff. I actually think, though, that Papermaster is probably going to end up being tied much more closely with the iPhone OS devices division. I mean, Papermaster's server experience at IBM was in building Blade servers.
Right.
Apple doesn't need, I mean, Apple's own data center can't be big enough for them to invest significant resources in further developing its own server products.
Unless Apple has something in mind for the XServe that we don't know about.
Maybe.
And yes, I know I'm totally reaching with that, but that's okay.
Is the XServe still in the market?
Yeah.
That was the X-Ray that they killed.
Yeah, they killed the X-Ray, which really broke my heart because that was like the best, least expensive RAID that you can pick up.
I can't believe it wasn't more of a hit. Enough of a hit for them to keep it.
I don't know why they got rid of it. I mean, with that, people were going out and buying like Dell Blade servers and then hooking up X RAIDs to them.
I know, but Apple stopped selling them, which means that not enough people were doing that.
They're
not going to stop selling the device if people are actually buying it. I mean, Apple's done a lot of crazy things, especially when it comes to the enterprise market.
Yeah.
But killing a product that's actually selling is not one that we can lay at their feet.
That's true. So
that's a form of crazy that not even Apple has met in that world.
Okay. I begrudgingly accept that.
So Papermaster could work on the XServe. I don't think they would invest that kind of money on him for that market. I don't think the XServe makes enough money to justify what it would have cost to get him from IBM.
Okay, now to support what you're saying, because I have no problem jumping to either side of the fence on our arguments.
Sweet.
If he is not involved in server technology at Apple, then he would not be in a position where he's potentially violating the agreements that he had with IBM for non-disclosure.
Well, that's probably true, although I will say that there I think we can probably pin more of his cell processor experience to IBM's tension over his departure.
Now, see, here I was trying to help out your argument, and look what you did.
I think he's going to be dealing with mobile devices. I think that you know, we're going to end up seeing his fingerprints on some aspect of the iPad/iPhone. I really think that despite the fact that he came from IBM, that that's what he's going to end up doing.
Okay.
That seems to me the one area that Apple is definitely willing to commit substantial resources to right now.
Now, you realize that I completely derailed our data center conversation.
Well, we can get to it. It's our show.
Oh, that's true. We can do anything we want.
Hooray and we to often us, do. Hooray to us, hooray to us, hooray.
All right, so I guess what it comes down to is we really don't know what Papermaster is going to be involved in.
No, but, we don't.
Whatever it is, it's probably going to be exciting.
You know what we do know?
Oh, tell me.
That the data center is big.
It is big, and it's in nowhere North Carolina, apparently.
Well, it does seem like it does seem like it's out in the middle of the country somewhere. We don't have a 360 view in that video. Now, if you haven't seen that video, we hosted it in an article at the Mac Observer that's linked in the show notes.
Right.
So go and watch it. This thing is big. And the reason why my original attempt at a segue was from the A4 cost.
And just so you know, totally sorry about completely derailing your segue because it was great.
Quite all right.
I just completely chose to disregard it.
Fair enough. And I enjoyed the Papermaster discussion, so we're good there. Okay. But this data center thing, what the hell are they going to do with all that computing space?
That's a really good question. I mean, we're looking at several different theories, well, at least a couple different theories right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so the theories that I've heard bouncing around are that Apple's going to get really big into cloud computing, and they need to have a facility that can handle pushing that much data around for their users.
Right.
Another theory is that Apple's going to take the technology that they've acquired from their Lulu purchase and start letting people store their iTunes libraries online instead of on their hard drives.
Lala.
What did I say?
You said Lulu.
Man.
I swear you said Lulu.
I probably did.
Don't worry. No one noticed.
Oh, God.
Besides me. And I'm jerk enough to have pointed it out.
And since no one's listening, well, we don't have to worry about it.
Yay!
All right. And then the third theory... Oh, crap, I forgot the two theories I just said.
Lala, that it's dealing with the moving iTunes to the cloud.
Right, so we have the Lala thing, we have the cloud data thing, and see, you completely distracted me, because now I can't remember what the third thing is, so I'm hoping you do.
Well, the third thing is, the third thing that's already been talked about is that, you know, they're just building this because the App Store is such a big deal. That they need a new data center to handle distribution of both the traditional iTunes model as well as the App Store model.
Okay, thank you.
That's been the theory all along. But then I saw this aerial video stuff, and the place is it's freaking huge. It is massive. It's 500,000 square feet. I mean, it's kind of one of those things that I think we might have heard that. That number before, but seeing it, of course, gives, you know, that context to what that actually means.
Oh, I just remembered what the other thing was, the real other thing, and it's something you brought up. Apple getting into the internet search business.
Well, that actually, I don't think that was going to be the thing that we sprang.
Well, I'm just tossing it out there so we have... all of this stuff to mess up and talk about any way we please.
Yeah, well, so, you know, looking at it again, it's really big. And, you know, before I didn't really have much problem thinking like, okay, they're going to expand their cloud stuff. You know, what they're doing with Mobile Me these days is already really cool. Clearly iTunes is huge, and clearly the App Store is huge. But,
right.
And certainly they will need more space. I'm personally convinced that we are going to see... at least the option of storing our iTunes library in the cloud.
I would love to be able to do that.
Yeah, kind of. I kind of want control over it myself, to be honest.
Well, okay. So when I say I would love to be able to do that, I want that as an option. So, like, I can have all of my library on my hard drive, but then I can select... the subset of music that goes to the cloud, so I have my always available streamable selection from my iTunes library.
And I personally want to keep everything locally, and I want the extension of also having that mirrored on the cloud.
Okay.
I don't want no choice of one or the other. So but I'm actually okay with having everything on the cloud as long as I can have it on my home system. But be that as it may, I think we're going to get some version of this based on the Lala purchase.
All right. So your iTunes library, is it on an external hard drive or is it on your computer's built-in hard drive?
It's internal. I've got plenty of space.
Okay. So I think this explains our slightly different philosophy on how we would like to see an iTunes cloud thing, because my library is on an external hard drive. So I oftentimes leave the entire library behind, except for what's on my iPhone or my iPod.
Yeah, but we're a little bit different there, because I've got the laptop that I travel with that has almost nothing on it, and I've got my main system. The system we're recording on right now is my Mac Pro.
See, there you go again, completely screwing up a theory I just came up with.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
But... you know, there was a. Do you remember that the whole thing with the search thing that you blew for us?
Sorry.
That's quite right. It's kind of funny. Stems from that the Steve Jobs complaining about Google. in the town hall meeting.
That's true. He said things. What did he say?
Well, of course, he said that, that depending on which version you listen to, that Google's mantra of "do no evil" is either bullshit, and pardon the beep, or a load of crap, depending on which version you listen to.
Oh, that's right. That, yeah.
And but he also said that you know, basically amongst their crimes is having been invited into Apple's inner sanctum, and then getting into several businesses that Apple does. But Apple wasn't getting involved in search, or hadn't gotten involved in search. And the way he said it, or the way he was quoted as having said it, this is something that's been tickling the back of my mind. I just now realized it. The way he said it, of Apple didn't get into search, kind of makes me think that there was a decision at some point made not to get into search, which is a lot different than Apple never having bothered to get into search.
Like, maybe there was a gentleman's agreement. We'll stay out of search, and you stay out of smartphones, sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I know I'm making it very simplistic, but...
But, well, I was actually kind of seeing it more as you know, an executive meeting slash, you know, as well as a board meeting at some point. But basically, you know, we could do search. Oh, yeah, sure we could. Now, what's it going to take? Well, let's not do search because our friends at Google are doing it well.
Okay, sure.
And if, you know, if they had gotten that far, maybe Steve decided that he wants a data center so that he can maybe go ahead and reinvestigate that plan. And this also kind of ties into the fact that they bought the ad company.
Right. Now, the ad company they bought, even if they don't get into search, that's still a totally legit purchase for them, because now they can offer a service for iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad developers where they can manage the in-app advertisements.
Yeah, I expect Apple to end up either to simply offer a service of serving ads, just, you know, like everybody else offers, or to actually just like build it into the SDK. So that, you know, it's
kind of
super, super easy for developers to just, you know, just tap into it with an API, and they're good to go with apps, with the advertising that is served by Apple.
That would be kind of a cool thing. I mean, a super easy way for developers to be able to, I mean, they just essentially click a button in the SDK, and now they have inline ads.
Yep.
That would be very,
very cool. Or at the
very
least, insert a block of code, as the case may be.
Okay, I could totally see that. So, I mean, the bottom line is, either way, it's a purchase that for Apple totally made sense.
But it also positions them, or better positions them, for entering the search business. And it's not like I see a big building, so therefore Apple is getting into search. It certainly makes me think that there's more to this data center than merely supporting or even expanding their current known operations. There is something unknown that is involved in this data center.
All right, so what do you think the odds are that Apple's going to be very upfront and open about what they're using the data center for? Or do you think we'll actually end up having to glean from the things they're doing what that data center is managing?
Well, part of the reason why we have jobs is because they don't ever tell us anything.
Good point.
You know, and we figure this stuff out, or, you know, we try to figure this out. So, no, I don't think that... Well, I don't know. They're never going to say we're using the data center for this and that. But at some point, you know, when we see an expansion of cloud computing-related things, or, you know, if Apple enters the search market, we will, of course, know that they're doing it through that data center.
Right. Wouldn't it be interesting, though, if Apple decided that they were suddenly going to do a big promo thing about what the data center's for? And I say that only because that's not what they typically do.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
Yeah, unless it was for a feature that they thought was going to be so important that highlighting the data center as part of it was a crucial marketing tool.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, we could see it in a video sometime, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if...
You know, at Apple, we really looked at the search business, you know, and we thought, you know, what is it that we can do here that's better than what everyone else is doing?
And then they cut to the shot of the two guys on Segways riding down the aisle between banks and banks of X-serves.
Pushing up their glasses with their right hands while they control the Segways with their left.
Someone out there is going to be offended when they hear that.
It's okay. It's probably us because we're geeks too.
You know, the sad thing is I did just push my glasses up.
I may have also.
And I wouldn't have realized, like, except that you had just said it, and then I did it, and I got self-conscious. And
It's like when you see someone
in the
movies.
Thank you.
See someone in the movies who's either being drowned or choked or is drowning on their own, and you know, you do a large intake of breath.
Right.
We push up our glasses.
Push up our glasses.
That's the nerd equivalent. Yeah. So anyway. This data center thing, I guess really that the last thing I think is probably the most important thing to take out of this. That center is so large that it is not being built just to service what's already there or even expand what we already know about. It's to support something that we don't know about yet.
And I'm looking forward to hearing whatever that is.
Yep. So, hey, one last thing. One last thing, and we can keep the show to an hour.
No way.
There have been three trade shows this year, three major tech shows: CES, Macworld, and this mobile technology conference. There's been a few others, I'm sure. But
right. But those are the three big ones right now,
right,
worth talking about.
And Apple hasn't been in any of them, and yet has dominated the show.
You know, are they good or what?
They're apparently really good.
Yeah. So, all right. So, I was at NAB.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, that's one that's coming up. CES. I was at CES.
You were at CES, right?
Isn't that? It's amazing. There's so many shows with three-letter acronyms, and they all happen in the spring-ish window. It's hard to keep them all straight. Okay, so CES, and the talk of CES was the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was talking about whatever products they were making, and then they would add to the end of that. And then, of course, we'll have a version for Apple's tablet when they announce it.
Right. Because CES took place about a week and a half before the tablet was announced.
Right. And so we had this hype about a product that at that point no one had confirmation even existed.
Right.
But you could walk around the expo floor and it was loaded with iPhone cases and references to Apple's iPad, which at the time we didn't know was the iPad, but the iPad.
Right.
So they make the announcement. And then we have Macworld Expo. And, of course, the iPad is the big talk of Macworld Expo.
Well, Macworld Expo, of course, Apple's going to dominate that show. I mean,
of course. But they were able not only to dominate, but to control the focus of what people were talking about.
I don't know that if I'd say they were controlling the focus.
Okay, so I'm going to disagree there, and I'm going to offer up the iPad presentation that was done at the expo. When that happened, it actually cleared or nearly cleared the expo floor because so many people wanted to see the event and be a part of that discussion. So they filled up the main room that they had for the event plus two overflow rooms, and they still had people flowing out into the whole hallway area.
Yeah, but I hate to say that Apple was controlling them. I mean, we talked a lot about how Apple wasn't at the show, and we didn't need Apple at the show, and that the reality was that the show did quite well without Apple. And I think that to say that Apple controlled the focus is kind of in direct contradiction to that notion. And I don't think it's so much that they controlled the I don't think they controlled the focus. The focus was set by the users.
Oh, the focus, sure. Okay, so the focus was set by the users. And I think both
they dominated it, but they didn't control it.
All right, I will accept domination. And that sounds really weird when I say that.
In a world where the sun shines, the water runs, one man likes domination.
I bet I'm going to have a whole different demographic coming up to me the next conference I'm at.
Indeed. So you look at the third show, this Mobile World Conference, and it's like the iPhone in particular just definitely just, again, Apple wasn't controlling anything, but they were dominating it. You know, everybody was being asked about the iPhone. All the competition was being asked about the iPhone. Steve Jobs wins an award for being Personality of the Year, and he's not there and his company's not there. You know, right. Apple doesn't even have a majority market share in the smartphone business, yet it's all anyone can talk about. It's all everyone's shooting for. It's all the companies are trying to out-iPhone the iPhone.
Right. And they're not Apple even there. Did not have any type of official presence at the event. And to the best of our knowledge, they had no one at the event at all.
Right, which is kind of silly on their part, but I believe is the case.
Yeah, you know,
they may have had people at the show. We don't know that one.
I would like to think that they did, because otherwise they're kind of isolating themselves from the rest of the mobile market, and they need to be very aware of what their competition is doing if they plan on keeping the iPhone as the dominant smartphone long term.
Right. I agree with that. Whether or not Apple does is another issue. And that is our show.
You know, there's a very slim chance we'll actually be under an hour.
Yeah, well, it will be. Well, maybe the trailing song might take us out, but
it'll be really close.
Why don't you take us out? We'll be under an hour with where you go.
Okay. So if you have anything to comment on, add or question, send your audio or text comments to acm@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback. Feel free to follow me on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/jgamut.
And you can follow my account at twitter.com/tmobrian. That's Brian with a Y. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom. The theme song for our show is recorded by the Atomic Love Bombs. And thanks to Melissa for her special contributions to our Foley effects team.
She's the best. All right. As always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.
Down. know. I can't see.